Movie BS with Aaron Snyder.
Jeff and Eric were walking through the woods one night. That's right. When they saw something giving off an eerie light, so bright. Turned out it was an alien meteorite. That's right. And its radiation gave them superhuman insight. So bright.
And on that day, they vowed to use their powers for good instead of evil, swearing to protect mankind from the vile clutches of their evil arch-nemesis, Bad Cinema. And if you find yourself in a bind at the multiplex, not sure what to watch, you too can call on
Movie BS with Aaron Snyder.
Hello, welcome to Movie BS with Aaron Snyder. We're reporting live from Fantastic Fest, which hasn't started yet.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Eric D. Snyder, your host, and that's Jeff Baer, my co-host.
Hi, everybody. I'm the co-host. I'm the host. I'm Jeff Baer.
Whatever.
And that was my co-host, Eric D. Snyder, and we are here. We are in it. We're in the thick of it, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're in the hallway at the Alamo Draft House on South Lamar in Austin. It's Thursday afternoon. Officially, nothing has happened yet. Been a couple of press screenings.
Which we can't talk about.
Can't talk about.
It's illegal.
Well, we could by the time you hear this, but we won't, for convenience sake.
Yes.
This is the pre-show, the pre-Fantastic Fest show.
Mm-hmm.
We have other movies we have to talk about.
Goodness, do we.
Well, that I have to talk about.
Yeah, I
do. My co-host, Jeff, you don't really care for movies. You've never been a big movie fan.
All right, here's what happened. I up and left San Diego.
Yeah.
Gone. Got in the car.
Got sick of San Diego, said no more of you.
No more.
Left.
I'm going home.
Packed up the kid and the dog.
But then I went the wrong way and ended up here. So I didn't go home to Portland, which is where I will be going in a couple weeks.
Right.
But yeah, kid, dog, me, 18 and a half hours on the road.
Ugh.
Zero issues. It was fine. No, there was no problems. It was fun.
It's just such a long drive is all.
I don't mind long drives.
Yeah.
I was worried. I was like, uh-oh, what if I've lost it? Because I used to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Still got it.
You didn't lose it from, like, a year ago when you last had a long drive?
Did I have a long drive a year ago?
You drove from Portland to San Diego with the dog.
Goodness, that was only 15 minutes. Well, but it's different because I had you and Superfan Mike along with me.
Not the time that you drove from Portland to San Diego with the dog.
No, I really liked that drive, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I still have it.
From a year ago.
Nice
going.
That story could have been better. I'm gonna say that.
It could have been a story.
It could have been a story.
That would
true.
Have helped that, if it yes. had been a story.
Oh my gosh, have I told you?
Hmm.
My son now says, Daddy, 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 I have a story to tell you.
Oh yeah?
And then he tells me something super ordinary that's not technically a story.
Oh.
And I say thank you, and I'm so excited about it. I love it to death.
I know where you learned it.
Oh. That's not true.
No, it's most of your stories are actually stories.
Oh,
that's true.
That's true.
It
yes.
is cute when kids do that. I have
yeah.
a story.
Yeah.
Can I have a piece of gum?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
He was like, I have a story to tell you. I was playing with trains, and then I said, hi, Daddy. The end.
Well,
that's what he does. Then he goes, the end, and that's it. So there we go.
That is cute.
That is the story to tell.
All
right, so you were saying there's something about movies.
There's some movies that
about.
I saw that you didn't see because you were traveling or whatever.
Right.
And so we're going to talk about those. And you can just shut up and listen while I talk about
movies. I can't tell you what's going on because Scott Weinberg just put somebody in a closet, and I feel like it's worth mentioning.
Scott Weinberg is here lurking.
He literally just told somebody to go in the closet, and now they're in the closet.
Yeah.
Right behind you.
It is the staff area.
Oh, but that person does not work there.
Where a manager is hiding to get some work done.
Oh.
Helping someone direct their way.
Got it.
To prevent the work from being done.
Yes, yeah, so what are you guys
Scott's
doing?
Job is an enemy of all work. Is
actually,
to,
on his business card, Scott Weinberg, delayer of work.
Yeah.
If I can get you away from your writing
mm-hmm.
or your any kind of editorial work.
Right. Anything productive.
I will do it.
We're going to be promoting Scott in a future show because he's going to do a column for me.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a very cool horror thing coming out that I think people should pay attention to.
Right,
And
right.
so in a future show, we will be...
Not now, though. We're not
no,
talking about
No, we don't
right
want to plug him while he's no. here in front
right
of
now
us.
We're plugging the fact that we're going to plug him later.
Yes. It's a pre-plug.
Scott with a lollipop in his mouth instead of a cigarette. Yeah, good for you, Scott.
Yep.
That is the applause.
Book coming out at the end of October.
We just said that we're not going to plug that right now.
That's all I'm going to say about it.
All right, now you say you saw some movies.
There were some movies that are opening in theaters that regular people, our listeners, should there be any left, could go see in their local cineplexes. One of them is called Stonewall.
Stonewall.
And
does somebody give them, like, it's a lot of, like, dead faces.
It's exactly, yes. You know how there's gay people?
I feel like I'm sitting across from one right now.
Oh, yes, that's right. And you know how gay people...
Whew, I am so happy I was right on that. Yeah. I would have been, like, if that was a vibe...
Then... We've never talked about it. Right. Yeah, no, you picked up on the vibe. And you know how the gay people have some rights?
Uh-huh.
They got most of the rights now.
Yeah.
Not all. There's still some things, but mostly.
They're doing pretty good.
Better than they were. Better than they were in 1969 when the Stonewall riots happened.
Oh, boy.
Named after the Stonewall Inn in the gay part of Manhattan. Which is now just Manhattan, but it's Christopher Street. Hey, it's Chris Cox. Hey, it's one of our overlords.
Are y'all recording right now?
We are recording right now.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. No, we're doing it.
Hello.
Being interrupted. But right. So yeah, the Stonewall riots. Named after the Stonewall Inn, and that was on Christopher Street. It's where all the big gay happenings in the old days.
All right.
And in those days, let me tell you, you weren't allowed to like be gay. Or you couldn't be gay in public. I didn't know that it was against the law. I knew that federal government would not hire gay people, federal law, if you were, like, openly gay. You also, gays couldn't congregate and be sold alcohol. You could have a gathering of gays, or you could have a gathering of people and serve alcohol. But so gay bars were not legal.
Oh.
So they were all run by the mob. They were all underground and stuff, yeah.
Hang on.
What?
The mob ran... Gay bars.
Yeah, because gay bars had to be on the black market.
That sounds like an amazing story to tell.
That would be a good story to tell. I hope somebody tells that story.
To have those two groups together, that sounds fantastic.
I hope someone makes that movie. So at Stonewall, there wound up being a big riot, and it was the beginning of the gay rights movement. And so at Roland Emmerich, he's made a lot of really socially important movies, you know, like Independence Day. He decided he's gay, and he said, "Well, I'm going to tell the story of my people, but I'm going to do it in my way, the Roland Emmerich way, which is to say, badly." So he's a hack filmmaker, and now he has applied his hackery to a subject near and dear to his heart.
Wow!
And so what he has done, based on this real thing, he has created a bunch of fictional characters. The main one is a handsome young man named Danny, fresh off the bus from Indiana. He's a gay kid, but he looks straight. He acts pretty straight.
Okay.
Which is in contrast to the guys he falls in with, who are all very flamboyant, fruity street hustlers, turning tricks.
Oh,
that's who he gets to be friends with. And that's who really was behind the movement in real life.
Okay.
But Emmerich realized, you know, audiences don't like to go see a lot of, like, really flamboyant Queenie guys. They want to see, like, an all-American, corn-fed,
a fake through
Midwestern
character.
Guy, yeah. Somebody who could pass for straight.
Yeah.
So he makes him up, and he's at the lead. So it's a very... it's really clunky and generic. It feels super long. It's the same length as... or just about the same length as some other movie I just saw that I really liked. Sorry. Oh, The Maze Runner.
Oh, okay.
About the same length as that. But guess which one I kept looking at my watch a million times and, like, couldn't believe that my watch wasn't... more time hasn't passed. It's probably a really interesting story, and there are three or four real people in the movie, like are based on real characters, but they're all minor characters in the movie.
Okay.
But one of them was one of the guys who ran one of the bars, and then at the end, the title card that tells us what happened to him, I was like, oh, I'd like to see that story.
Oh my gosh.
Instead of this fake one, this is very, very superficial and shallow. We catch a glimpse of one of the... Look Out for the Homosexuals educational films they would show in schools. And it's, you know, it's funny and all
plays
that.
Plays like The Simpsons?
A little bit. We don't see much of it, but about like that. But the thing is, Stonewall, this movie, is just as shallow, just in the opposite direction.
Okay.
Really stereotypical. And I'm not offended by it, just because it's a hack filmmaker making a hack film. Like, this is what he does, and so what.
But there definitely are people that...
I suspect that if I knew more about the real history of it, I would probably be upset.
You'd be up in arms?
Probably up in arms. Because from what I gather, the real forces behind it were lesbians and drag queens and like even the people who are even within the gay community sort of marginalized and who you don't want to make a movie about because people won't go watch it. So, yeah. it's not terrible, but it's certainly not good. It's a C-.
Give it a D.
All right. It is good, though. If you want to see a lot of lithe young men in dirty underwear, because they all sleep on the floor in a flop house.
Visually, it's dirty underwear.
Visually, yeah, because they're, yeah.
You know that underwear is
not
dirty.
Like poop dirty, but just like it's the same underwear they've been wearing.
Is it whitey tighties?
Yeah, it's late 60s. That's what you had.
Yeah, late 60s. No, that's, I'm not into it.
Yeah, no, me either, especially, particularly. Really skinny, scrawny, undernourished guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Eat a sandwich. Oh, they couldn't.
They didn't have enough money. Well, they were turning tricks.
Yeah.
Again, that would be an interesting story. What leads, how you have to turn tricks to get by, and how do you manage, but nope. So there's that. And the one guy, the main guy, is the first one ever to say gay power. He says, gay power!
Is he fictitious? But he's fictitious.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, Stonewall.
I don't like it.
Next, Sicario.
Now, how do you say it?
Sicario. How you say it, or how you said it earlier,
I said
Cicero.
Cicero.
Yeah. Sicario.
Oh, me.
Is the movie.
Sicario.
This is a good one. This is, you remember that Zero Dark Thirty?
This is the, yes, and this is the movie that, oh, wait, why?
What?
Why do you say Zero Dark Thirty?
Because it reminds me of that a little.
Oh, I thought you were going to even just like, you know, director or somebody.
Oh, no, it's a sequel to Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, because this one's the sad one that I couldn't see.
Right.
Because of this, traveling.
Right, right. This is the guy who directed Prisoners a couple years ago with Jake Gyllenhaal. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes.
Denis Villeneuve. And Sicario is sort of a cross between, it's like Zero Dark Thirty, only instead of Bin Laden, it's about the drug cartels.
All right.
So it's kind of traffic, something like that. You got Emily Blunt, who's an FBI agent, who gets involved with a federal task force that's going into Mexico to try to stop some stuff.
Accent?
She's doing an American accent, yeah.
Good job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
That reminds me of another thing that was bad about Stonewall, was the main guy, English accent, trying to cover it up. And so he's trying to cover up with an East Coast accent for his character who's right off the bus from Indiana.
What?
So he gets to New York and is already kind of talking New York a little bit. Emily Blunt, FBI, Josh Brolin, and Benicio Del Toro are the guys from the other agency that she's working with. And they say they're from the Department of Defense, but she thinks they're probably really CIA.
Okay.
And it's one of those, what are we really after here?
Important.
Yes.
On the mumble scale, how is Benicio?
He's very articulate.
Really?
Yeah.
You never once wanted the subtitles.
He was speaking Spanish a couple of times. I was glad for them.
Okay.
But
they actually offered them, so you weren't hoping for them.
Yeah, no.
There you go.
No, he may have taken some elocution lessons, perhaps.
Nice.
And so it is a suspenseful, it's a tense movie.
Yeah.
First, as the mystery, Emily Blunt and then her partner, FBI partner, he keeps getting shut out of the thing. And so we're them trying to find out what is really going on here.
Yeah.
And then we're also, as we find out what's going on, there's danger and intrigue.
Does anybody get to consume any drugs in this movie?
A little bit. Not a lot.
We don't see
it's
any
not
crazy...
about the taking of drugs particularly. No, it's more about the...
The giving.
It's about the taking of drugs away from bad guys.
Mm.
Or about killing bad guys so they won't distribute drugs anymore.
My.
Is it
dark? Is it like... Do you see... Like, for some reason, I saw glimpses of this movie, and it always seems like it's dark to me.
there's a really good sequence, really suspenseful sequence that's in night vision. It's not generally too dark. It's dark thematically. It goes to some dark places. But it's enjoyable in that uncomfortable.
Like, it's all quality work.
Yeah.
But you're not necessarily having fun.
It's not super fun, no.
Yeah.
But it is, and I think the Zero Dark Thirty is kind of a good comparison of the kind of feel for it. It's a B, a nice solid B. Mm-hmm.
Is this a movie that, like, could you see anybody being nominated for this movie, or is it not that kind of movie? Like, even Prisoners. Didn't Prisoners get a little Hugh Jackman going?
I don't remember.
Like Golden Globes, maybe?
Golden Globes don't count.
No, I know they don't count.
Right. That's why I don't remember.
Okay. All right. Point taken.
Yeah.
It's a B.
It's a B. Yeah, it's fine.
What did you give Stonewall? C-.
C-.
All right.
And then Hotel Transylvania 2, the sequel.
Have you seen the first one?
Uh-huh.
I have not.
Yeah.
What did you think of the first one, Nice and Quick?
The first one was surprisingly okay.
And that didn't end up on the poster.
No, it didn't. And the reason it was surprising is that it had starred Adam Sandler. It was written by Robert Smigel, old Adam Sandler guy, and it's all Sandler's friends are the voices.
Yeah. Like so Kevin James.
Yeah.
And isn't this where Andy Samberg got involved together for the first time?
And the sequel is just like the first one in that it turns out the way to make Andy Samberg palatable and likable is to make him a cartoon character. It turns out...
Wait, who?
What's his name? Adam Sandler.
There we go.
Sorry,
I was going to say. I thought you were about to besmirch Brooklyn.
Sandler.
Okay.
Because it turns out that his childish jokes play better when they're actually aimed at children. And his live-action movies have been so aggressive.
Very aggressive.
In your face with how obnoxious they are. And these couple of Transylvania movies have been, I wouldn't say overly sweet, but just sort of pleasant and fun and some good monster jokes. In this one, his daughter, played by Selena Gomez, has married Andy Samberg, a human, and they have a son. And the question is whether the son will be a vampire or a human. And so Dracula, Grandpa Adam Sandler, is trying to like show him how fun it is to be a monster. He takes all the monster friends out to show him how great it is. Of course, nowadays, people see monsters, they want to take a selfie. They're not afraid anymore. They're like, hey, love your chocolate cereal. You can
that
just vape
like
anywhere.
Scathing social commentary about monsters.
Wait, can you vape anywhere?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Apparently.
It's not scathing, but it's funny. I laugh several times.
Do your listeners really care about Hotel Transylvania?
No, but I saw it, so I'm going to tell them about it anyway.
Yeah. And not only that, some of our listeners
have kids.
They have kids, and they have to go to these things, so then they wonder if they should go to this thing or that thing.
So as far as I'm concerned, Sandler should just be a cartoon from here on out. It is much easier to accept.
I don't think Scott's ever had a thought about Sandler.
Probably not.
Not that I can recall.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I wasn't asked, but...
Exactly. That's the main point there.
Adam Sandler is... I did enjoy the first Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, and the second one
is more of the same. I didn't see it.
It's more of the same. Yeah. More of that.
I will put it on the radar one day.
It's another B-.
A B-.
Well, what I liked about the first one was that they didn't try and reinvent anything. It's pretty much just like Tex Avery style.
It's a monster mash, monsters hanging out.
Some fast energy.
The invisible, in the new, I can't remember if this was in the first one, in the new one, The Invisible Man, which is David Spade. He says he's got a girlfriend, but no one can see her because she's invisible. So it's one of those, your girlfriend from Canada kind of things.
Yeah, those aren't bad jokes.
That's fine. Vaping.
You don't think you could write a better joke than that,
I'm sure I could, but it's fine. That's what I'm saying. It's not bad.
It's B-.
It's a B-. I'm not resentful. Now it's time for Question of the Week. Oh, maybe you can get involved in this, Scott.
Question of the Week.
If we can prevail upon you.
So here's what we'll do. We'll give the Question of the Week. We'll give, the first two examples so you'll have time to think.
You'll be thinking of your answer.
You can think of your answer, and then you'll tell us what your answer is.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how it'll all work.
You need to have some paperwork there.
No.
It's all legitimate.
All right.
The question of the week.
Would you like to repeat it for our listeners?
In honor of Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway and The Intern.
Which I didn't see, by the way.
I didn't see it either, but it was still in honor of them.
Whatever.
What's an old-young combination who should make a movie together? And it doesn't have to be romantic. In fact, probably shouldn't be romantic.
Let's hope. Yeah.
The best part about all this, Scott was going to participate, and then
he didn't listen.
Didn't
hear a word of it.
He didn't hear it at all, even though we repeated it for his sake.
So some of our listeners' suggestions for old young couples who should make a movie together.
It's right on top. Okay. You read it while he reads that. And
Jeffrey suggests Nathan Fillion and William Shatner. Fillion, not young anymore, but certainly he's much younger than Shatner.
Lily Tomlin and Amy Schumer.
There you go.
Okay, and they're not related. What happens in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, they're not related?
They're not related.
It's as simple as this. Amy Schumer moves into a new apartment, and Lily Tomlin is her upstairs neighbor, who seems very sweet at first, but is loud and boisterous and parties all night with her male friends.
And that should be Amy Schumer's life. She should be the party girl, and this one's doing
but
it better than her.
Is she a nerd? Is Amy Schumer like a timid nerd or something?
Whereas where it would be different from neighbors in that they would build resentment, Amy Schumer would want to be like trying to insinuate herself into the old lady's life because she's cool.
Right.
I like it. So wait, do we? In other words, she starts off as bookish and ends up being a fun, not party girl in a bad way, but starts to embrace life and enjoy life.
Yeah, becomes more outgoing.
I want to become a party girl in a bad way. I want Lily Tomlin to act to be like a drug addict. Ooh. Like her life is a mess.
Well, can I say
and she drags her down.
Yes, you can say. Yes.
Give an example for your readers.
So Nathan Fillion and William Shatner.
Yes.
They'd probably be like starship captains. Would be like a
yeah,
a space
that would be
thing.
The basic thing.
You know what that would do?
Yeah, yeah. I like a kid's answer.
What is it?
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Alyssa Milano. The story is this. Alyssa's father is kidnapped. Has to go all commando on her captors to get him back. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she has to go
it's
and get...
It's a sequel.
Because her dad is all old and infirm.
Yes. And she has to go crazy. That would be awesome. And that would give commando
You've
a new life.
You've got to help me. They are going to kill me if you do not come help me. It would be great.
That would be good.
See, Jennifer says Carol Burnett and Amy Schumer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jennifer suggests competing in some sort of high-stakes pageant as moms and grandmas.
Oh, so Carol Burnett would have a granddaughter that she wants to be
Amy
the best,
Schumer's
and Amy Schumer would have a daughter that she would want to be the best. Brandon says Angela Lansbury and Benedict Cumberbatch team up as unwilling co-workers at a Walmart clone to solve a murder.
Ooh.
I would see that movie right now.
Angela Lansbury and Benedict Cumberbatch.
Did she, also, same for her, did she officially retire? Like, will she? Is
no,
she
she's still around, Lansbury.
Is she doing voice work and nothing else? Is she doing Broadway and nothing else?
I think she's doing stage stuff. What's interesting about her is that she has been old since she was 30.
I know, it's amazing.
You've seen her in old movies and she was already an old lady.
Bedknob and Broomstick. She's like, what is she, like 70? No.
Yeah.
But anyway. What else you got?
Will says Harrison Ford and Chris Pratt in an action movie.
I feel it's
the
nose.
I know.
Zach suggests Nick Nolte and Dave Franco, romantic. I'm sorry. I don't wish to see that.
Nick Nolte.
Dustin Hoffman and Andy Samberg.
Oof. That's risky.
In a remake of Harry and Tonto, only Andy Samberg is a cat.
Andy Samberg would have to play Dustin Hoffman's son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they look like father and son.
They do.
Which I could get on board with that.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. It'd be something Jewy. Right?
Sure. Jewy sells.
That's actually the title.
Something Jewy.
Something Jewy.
Dustin Hoffman and Andy Samberg in Something Jewy.
Seth Rogen and Charles Grodin.
Oh.
Seth Rogen and Charles Grodin in a remake of I Got Nothing. Talk Radio.
All right. Helen Mirren, Stewart suggests Helen Mirren and Daniel Radcliffe in The Minister and the Queen. Mirren plays the Queen of England.
Okay.
Her heir and prime minister have been disgraced in a scandal. And so the prime minister's on. So Daniel Radcliffe is the flamboyantly gay new prime minister. There we go. It's a lot of story here.
Goodness.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
My computer stopped loading, so if you have any others...
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I really came to the show today.
Yeah,
prepared.
Technical difficulties.
No, it's not going to happen. I've been waiting a half
Dallas,
hour.
Dallas, one of our Dallases is Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan.
I like this one. Read the whole thing.
Michael B. Jordan plays a newly drafted NFL quarterback who still hasn't grown up, gets in bar fights, fails his drug test, etc. At the brink of becoming a bust, the team owner brings in retired quarterback Will Smith to mentor and help Mr. Jordan. Will Smith would have to bulk up a little. But he's
what? He's bulked up before. He's fine.
Yeah, no, he could.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan can't act.
No. Yes, he can.
Stop it
Michael
right
B.
now.
Jordan's good. You don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm terrible.
Harold says Charlie Hunnam and Chloe Moretz, but I don't think there's much. Charlie Hunnam's like 30. Yeah. No.
No.
No, Harold. Disqualified.
Rules, Harold.
We're a society of laws. Ross Brown... Ross says Nicolas Cage and Shia LaBeouf, which I could see potential, because they're both so hammy.
Well, and not only
give
that...
Give something good and hammy.
People are deciding that Shia LaBeouf's on the verge of turning into...
He can be a good actor when he wants to be.
Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Fury?
And Sylvester Stallone.
Mm.
A remake of Dude with My Claw.
Here's an important question.
Yeah.
Do we have a question of the week for next week?
Nope.
We didn't think of one.
No, we're taking the week off.
Wait.
Because we're busy.
Let's find out if we are.
Hmm.
Let's find out if Scott Weinberg can come up with a question of the week off the top of his head for our listeners next week. And if he can't, we'll just edit this part of the show out.
Oh, I got a great one.
Mm-hmm.
If it was guaranteed to be a good film, what film that hasn't been remade would you remake?
It's guaranteed to be good.
Guaranteed to be good. To be at least good. Good writer, good director, good act cast.
All right.
It turns out good.
I'm going to give one right now so then the listeners don't give this one.
Okay.
Jaws.
Why do you want a remake of it, though?
It's because I love the environment of men on a boat solving a problem against nature.
Right.
And that problem is such an amazing problem that I'd love to see it again with all of our capabilities of not using...
Some question could be who gets to direct it.
Ugh. And then you can't use special effects. So that has to be practical effects.
Right.
Like, that'd be my key with that.
But we already have that. It's called Jaws.
I know. I just want. I want.
Why do you want it again?
Because you know me. I want the same movie done with a different crew 5 years every time. I want Ocean's 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 every 5 years.
My answer is I would have remade Blood Beach and Guillermo del Toro would direct.
I don't know what Blood Beach is. It sounds hilarious.
Look up Blood Beach. The poster itself. Nah.
Doesn't seem like a lot of work.
Yeah. Typing. All right, so the question of the week is
what movie should be remade?
Good.
Yeah.
What should be remade?
You really have to think about why you want it to be remade.
Because a lot of it for you is somebody, Blood Beach, people missed it. He wants that.
People get worried about a remake because instantly in their brain they go, oh, if it sucks, it'll hurt the reputation of a good film.
Right. Which we know is technically not true.
It's definitely not true. Yeah. But if you say to them, guaranteed to be at least a 4 out of 5 star film. You're guaranteed to at least like it. What film would you like?
But then we have to ask the question: why does this particular film need to be remade? Is it because it was not good enough? Like the missed potential,
undiscovered,
could have been better.
Beach, not enough people know of it.
Blood Beach is about people who get sucked down into the sand by a monster. It's literally the whole plot.
The film's tagline is: just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, you can't get to it.
1980.
81.
Look.
Yeah, I see.
He's getting sucked into the
sand. That's a good poster.
And
our
arms are splayed akimbo.
In
agony.
They are all akimbo. But again, why does this movie need to be remade?
Because it stinks.
Okay, but it's a good idea.
Okay.
But it's a good idea for a movie.
There's something there.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Whereas I just want to see another
movie. You just want to see the same movie again.
I just want to see the same movie.
We can take Jaws and just like digitally put other actors' faces on their faces if you want.
No, see, again, that's special effects. They would have to wear actual masks for the practical effect.
Shawshank Redemption, written and directed by Kevin Smith.
Oh.
They're both sneering at me.
That's his favorite movie.
Everybody loves that movie. I'm going to go, gents. Thank you for letting
me. Yeah, that's a bold choice having me have.
Okay, let's start recording now.
Who doesn't love Shawshank?
Yeah, okay. No, it's impossible.
And we'll begin now in 3, 2.
It's nice for Scott to think that he was on the show.
Yeah. We got this fake microphone and everything.
Yep.
What are we doing?
That was the question of the week.
Yeah, that was the question of the week then, I guess.
There we go.
Sure, all right.
What are we doing? People, here's what's going to happen right after this show.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to put fake twos, as I like to call it.
That's what the kids call them, twos.
All over Eric's body. I'll take a little video of it, and I will try to get that up, after the show's been posted.
Sure.
I'll try to get that up and look for pictures of that. And then let's see.
Then we're going to watch some movies. Heard Fantastic Fest.
Movies such as The Lobster.
For example, that's a movie.
I know it's a movie, and I know two people that are in it.
Mm.
That's what I know.
We should talk about some of the movies we're looking forward to.
Well, I mean, I think we're both fairly excited about the closing night film, which we won't even potentially be able to talk about for next show. Bone Tomahawk.
Bone Tomahawk starring Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell with amazing facial hair. It's a Western. Richard Jenkins is in it.
Yeah.
Matthew Fox is in it. And they will be here, and
they're going to be hanging around.
They are going to go to the closing night party, supposedly, which is going to be at a ghost town, which is going to be insane.
Oh, I didn't know it was going to be the ghost town.
Some like fake recreated.
Oh, gotcha.
Or other. Yeah.
There's a new movie called Anomalisa.
That's getting
written by Charlie Kaufman.
That was at TIFF.
So that's exciting.
And people were like, ha ha ha.
High Rise from Ben Wheatley, who made Kill List, which I love.
And, what about Clown Forever?
Clown Forever.
Sequel to Clown. If you guys haven't seen Clown, prepare to be really uncomfortable.
Danish comedy.
It is Oh, I did not like watching it, and I did not like laughing, and I did not like that it was in my brain, but goodness, that's an experience to have.
Looking forward to more of that, yeah.
Yeah, jeez.
So we'll have some good, fun, quality times.
Yeah, wait, what's did you say Green Room?
I did not say Green Room.
Green Room
but that
is
one.
Who's the guy behind that one? I'm really excited about whoever directed that.
It's the guy who made Blue Ruin.
Yes.
Right.
All of his movies have to have a color in the title.
And it's got Patrick Stewart.
Yes. And it's some sort of caper, I believe, is had.
There may be some sort of capering.
Yeah.
No, Backwoods Neo-Nazis. So there you go. Backwoods Neo-Nazis. Not those fancy big city Neo-Nazis.
Oh, they're the worst. Yeah, they're too pompous.
Yeah, too pompous.
Yeah.
These are the backwoods. Yeah. You're simple homespun Neo-Nazis.
Yeah, regular folk.
Regular Nazis.
Yeah.
Looks
and,
good.
And let's see, I'm going to be, again, I'm the winner, and Eric is the loser of the Summer Box Office Challenge, besides the fake tattoos, he has to see three events of my choosing.
Right.
One will be Fantastic Debates, which is where film nerds debate a subject, and then put boxing gloves on and punch each other.
Like you do.
And then the other one is Farewell Uncle Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Which is supposedly long and excruciating. It's an Italian film from the 70s?
A few of those things you just said are accurate.
It is supposed to be one of the more uncomfortable things to sit through.
It's very racist.
And the nice thing is, well, here's the thing. Hmm. You love racism.
I do.
So that's nice for you. That's like you got to that to look forward to. But then it's a movie that I want to hear about.
Right.
But I don't want to sit through.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, sign my friend up.
Yeah. It's not that long. It's 123 minutes. But it is supposedly very,
I hear
very
it feels
racist.
Very long.
And many people walk out of it, supposedly.
Which, of course, you wouldn't do.
Well, here's the thing.
How bad can it be?
Well, now that you've officially assigned it to me, I was going to see this movie anyway.
No, you weren't.
I most certainly was. Why?
Gosh darn
what
it.
Makes you think?
I
what
know.
About, why would I not want to see the super racist movie
here's the
that
problem.
People walk out of?
Everything that sounded awful to me, I was like, Eric's going to enjoy this. Eric wants this. And it was just like, I would definitely not want to sit through this. Like, there was the one where some girl is mentally disabled and her brother is making people have sex with her.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was just like, ah, Eric would love that movie. I can't assign that to him. And like on and on down the list.
Sure, sure.
So at least this one I want to hear about.
Gotcha.
I don't want to hear about the mentally disabled. That's rough.
Now I want to see what movie that is. Do you remember what it was called?
So this is what you get. I believe it's a Korean film. I'll look it up for you so you can sit through that and tell me how bad that is.
I know there's
because here's the thing. This is the reason why I love this so much. Is because what a Serbian film.
Oh, Serbian
I
film.
Never want to see Serbian film. But I was very happy to have you blow by blow tell me about it. But at the same point, me being like, wait, don't tell me any more about that. Move on to the next thing that happens. You're a very good person to see a movie that I don't want to see and then feel like I can tell, because I've told people, oh, you don't want to see Serbian film. Eric's told me all about it. Listen to what happens. Like, I use that.
You know what I really don't want to see that I just learned about? It's called Daniel's World. It's a documentary from the Czech Republic. It's about pedophiles.
See? It's short, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only 75 minutes.
So it was on my radar, and it was like, well, that's too short. And Eric really likes pedophiles.
I don't like pedophiles. Especially not a documentary, but like a movie about pedophiles.
No,
documentary.
Right. Yes.
Like real pedophiles, no.
Yeah, you're right. You like the humor. You're willing to potentially find hints of humor in that world as long as it's very fictitious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
There we go.
It's a brave documentary.
Because you're a professional.
It's a brave documentary from the Czech Republic. Takes a very open, unflinching, and non-emotional view of the most despised...
No, feel free.
...of the most despised, misunderstood, and taboo trait, pedophilia.
Yowzer.
And it's Czech Republic. I hope that it's called Checkmates.
Is that the show?
It's actually called Daniel's World.
Yeah.
Anyway, that sounds awful.
Well, actually, now... I do have a third event. We'll see.
I know, I'm saying. You still get to choose one.
I still get to choose one.
Of things that look unbearable.
Yeah. But yeah, the sad part is there's not like a 4.5 hour movie here, which sometimes there is.
Right.
And that, of course, I would have sat you through that.
Yeah. And that I really would have hated.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what's left.
Yeah. There's the Japanese documentary about handicapped wrestlers.
Yeah.
Disabled fighters.
Right. But you see, that's the thing, too. It was on my radar, but like, you would be like, you wouldn't believe what somebody looked like.
No, I wouldn't.
Yep, that's
not
who
real
you are.
People? No.
In a nutshell.
No.
Ugh.
No.
If you're not a white gay Mormon, Eric D. Snyder's got a problem with you.
I definitely do have a type. So that's what's happening to us.
There we go.
That's our show.
By the way,
huh?
I really appreciate what you did with your facial hair.
Wait till people see it. Yeah, I shaved some of it.
Yeah.
Now I look like an old-timey boxer.
It almost makes me think, are you in the Fantastic Debates? Will you be putting on fisticuffs with somebody?
The only problem with that is that I would be afraid to hit anyone or be hit.
Right. I want you to debate, and then I will hit people.
You want to be my designated hitter?
Yes! We could have podcast versus podcast.
Here we go.
And you would debate, you know, the other half, and
right.
Then the other half would fight me.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I don't really like arguing either, though.
I know.
It's just not very much fun for me.
I know.
Anyway, we'll find out. We'll see what happens at the actual debates.
My dream of punching people must continue.
You gotta
wait for a good reason.
You can still punch people.
No, you gotta wait for a good reason. This is what society wants out of you.
Mm.
You gotta wait for a good reason to punch.
So
if somebody could put my son in peril,
yeah.
Now I get a punch. I'm not asking necessarily because then it feels like I'm wanting that. I'm not saying I want that, but that's a good reason to punch.
That is a fun thing to fantasize about.
No, I'm just saying, if it happened,
like,
one day.
You're forced into some righteous anger.
Give me back my son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
So to recap, Sicario's all right. Pretty good.
How's Cicero?
Cicero doesn't exist.
So it might not be bad.
It might. It's an unknown quantity.
Unknown. All right.
And then Hotel Transylvania 2 is all right, if that's your thing, if you have kids.
What about Stonewall?
Stonewall is bad.
Yeah. Well, and the question of the week is...
what movie should they remake?
From Scott Weinberg.
Scott Weinberg said it.
If it's guaranteed good, what movie should be remade and why?
Yeah, there you go.
It'll be good enough.
I'm confident we've asked that question 4 or 5 times.
Doesn't matter.
I know. It's probably the one we asked the most, actually.
Yeah, I know, but still.
I know. We can't say no.
We can't.
Asked him right
Oh, hey,
in front
my computer loaded.
That's nice.
Is there any more question of the week?
So for Movie Us with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I'm Jeff Barron.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.